This podcast is for informational purposes only and does not constitute legal, tax, investment, financial, or other advice. It is not intended to cause or induce breach of an existing agency agreement.
Hello?
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 This is the Vancouver Real Estate Podcast.
And welcome back to Vancouver Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Scalina.
And I'm your other host, Matt Scalina.
Matt, I should say host, but also realtors with Oakwin Realty in downtown Vancouver. So excited for today. We've got a conversation that has been requested a lot lately from listeners about should I sell in this market? And also people paying attention might notice that there are some listings hanging around. So we talk about not only should you sell right now in the fall market, but also touch on the market. And then we touch on some strategies that we think that sellers should consider if they're thinking about listing this year.
And you know what, Adam? We talk, is now the time? Should I wait for the spring? One thing that I think can be read into this conversation that we weren't really explicit about is this the time, if you've been on the market and are sitting, is this the time to change course and how to do so, right? That's definitely, I would say, implicit in the conversation.
Right.
Because we are getting close to the end of October. And I would say people have 5 to 6 weeks tops if they want to get sold in 2025. And it's not the easiest time to get sold. So this is what we're focused on today.
And I'll clarify, because you mean before things start to shut down for like the holidays, right? That's 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And we even talk a little bit about should you keep your listing active over the holidays. So lots to cover today. And of course, we also cover, which is really exciting, opens. And I know you have a funny story about your, didn't you catch an open house you weren't even hosting?
So, okay, here's the thing. And I don't think this will ever be solved. So we used to be at a different brokerage.
Yes.
Before COVID. Okay. Right. So we moved brokerages in 2019. That was 7 years ago. Now, Adam, I'm sure you, as do I, when I'm driving around and you see open house signs on like a Tuesday or a Monday morning or Sunday at 9 at night, and you're like, oh man, whoever this dummy is, they forgot their signs. Like it's, I see
what you're saying. I'm always like, way to hustle, John, or whoever.
Oh no, I'm like, oh God, somebody forgot their signs. Like that, you know, they're holding an open house all week now because they have a sign sitting out on Main Street or whatever.
Yeah, that's funny.
So I always am aware of those situations. And last week, I was driving down to Nanaimo in East Van, and I saw a couple signs. And I was like, immediately thought, who are the losers? You know, it's like 11 a.m. on a Tuesday. Like, there's no way these are actually, actually an open house going on. And as I get closer, no word of a lie, it's my sign. And not only is it my sign, not from an open house that we had, like I didn't forget my sign, it's my sign from the brokerage we were at 7 years ago.
So you left it there 7 years ago?
Yeah, I was like, I can't believe I haven't noticed this.
What a loser. No,
but I could, I took the sign obviously, but it's of no use to me.
You ended up taking the sign.
I took the sign because I was like, what's going on? This is my sign. I disposed of these signs.
You disposed of them, but not well enough. there was some realtor trying to save a buck.
I almost feel like going in that neighborhood and looking as to who has listings. It's a real mystery.
Who's got your signs?
How does that sign still exist? B, is somebody actually using the sign as for an open? And C, they forgot the signs. But I don't know.
Hopefully it's good brand recognition for them. I mean, you would, you know, some agents might pay for their signs being put around the city.
Yeah, it's like a bus.
You might owe somebody check. Some money.
I couldn't believe it though when I was driving up and saw my own name. It was a surreal moment. And something that I don't think we'll ever solve, but very strange. I didn't think those signs existed yet, or still. But right. Anyway, in any event, Adam, we do have a segment that remains nameless.
Yes.
It's a quiz question for you. This week's, I feel like I had a couple options, but I decided to go with the inflation print.
Yes.
A question about inflation. Adam, as we all know, or anyone following along closely to what the Bank of Canada potentially will do at the end of the month, the inflation data came out 2 days ago, and it wasn't great, right? CPI rose a little bit higher, just slightly higher than expected. But of course, all the headlines ran with clouds the Bank of Canada's decision-making process at the end of the month.
Yes.
So my question is about the money market odds. So the odds of a quarter point rate cut later this month. Adam, before the CPI index, the odds of a rate cut were at 87%. Everybody was almost right. Surely thinking there would be a quarter point. I can give you one.
We actually thought inflation might even be going down, or at the very least staying stable.
Exactly. The odds now of a rate cut have went down. My question to you is, by how much? From 87% to what percentage point? And I'm not giving you, I feel like your average is too high here. No clues.
Okay.
What do you think?
Okay. I will answer that. But before we answer that question, Matt, or before I answer that question, there is a listing we want to talk about. It is over in Kitsilano. It's available at our website, Vancouver Real Estate Podcast. This is such a phenomenal unit. 2-bed, 2.5 bath with 3 outdoor spaces. Count them, rooftop deck and 2 private patios. One that's ground level, perfect south-facing patio. 2 parking, beautiful unit with partially updated. They've done herringbone floors, which is amazing. And this is 1,100 square feet. It's unit 105 at 1922 West 7th Avenue. Of course, you are very close to the future Broadway line and all the best parts of Kits, like wedged right between 4th and Broadway, which is amazing. So head over to our website and check that out. And now, Matt, back to the question.
Oh, wait, I just wanted to make 2 points. One, these are the type of homes that are still in hot demand in this market. That is a great listing. It's a beautiful home.
Yes.
It's at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com. This is my second point.
Kits is blue chip.
And you can click Kits is blue chip. You just click sell with us, Adam, while you're there, because you can download the sold plan. This is start on launch date, where you get a detailed plan based on years and years of selling experience to get your home sold for top dollar in the shortest amount of time. That's sell with us at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com. Check it out while you're checking out that listing. But Adam, yeah, back to our question. So the odds makers, much smarter than us, the odds makers have decided that there's less of a chance than 87% that the Bank of Canada will drop the rate. What percentage is there at this point that a quarter point happens at the end of the month?
So it was at 87%. I'm going to guess that...
It was at 87%.
I'm going to guess that it dropped by roughly a third. So I'm going to say roughly 55%.
Is that roughly or is that your final answer?
That's my final answer, 55%.
55%. Okay. Now this is challenging because the answer, and this was immediately after the CPI data came out, the money markets placed the odds at 77%.
Oh, okay? Wow.
So just 10% down, which is, you know, great news for those variable rate holders out there. So there's still a very good chance that the Bank of Canada will be dropping the rate by a quarter point. But here's the thing, Adam. This morning, and this is Thursday, October 23rd, this morning I went to a website. Now, I can't verify this site. It's called bankofcanadaodds.com, okay, where they have their forecast. Now, their forecast as of this morning, that the 77% was 2 days ago. Their forecast is a 43% hold,
okay,
based on a variety of factors, and a 57% odds of a cut. So you are very close.
Wow.
According to bankofcanadaodds.com.
That's my new like site.
Almost like I'm working for you. But that's of October 23rd. So you're actually wrong, but maybe closer than you thought.
Absolutely. You know what? I think here's the thing. I love BCREA does a great job, and people that listen that are in the industry, I know there's some of you out there. The BCREA inflation email is always a treat to get because it breaks it down into all the subcategories, right? Like shelter and everything else, right? And I think that's the thing. If I remember reading correctly, I think food was a
driving. I think gas was higher too.
Yeah,
gasoline.
So I mean, I think that's the thing.
Car, I would.
NBT. Yeah. So I think that's the not a Tesla. And I think that's the thing. You have to kind of look at like what's driving that, right? Because I think that's very important. But yeah, it definitely makes it a more challenging decision for the Bank of Canada coming up. But I still think we're going to see a rate cut. Matt, without further ado, why don't we cut to this conversation between ourselves about how to course correct or sell in this current market?
Absolutely. Enjoy.
This podcast is sponsored by Atlin at Clayton Crest, a master plan community in the West Clayton area built by Zentera Developments.
Zentera is an absolute force, Adam. They've been nominated for Multifamily Builder of the Year for 10 consecutive years and just won again at the Georgies for 2025 Multifamily Home Builder of the Year.
What's really exciting about Atlin is the West Clayton location. You're within walking distance to the future SkyTrain station, giving you that perfect balance of city access while living in a peaceful, family-friendly community in the Fraser Valley.
And if you have kids or are planning to start a family, there's an on-site daycare where residents get first access. This kind of thoughtful planning is why Zentera's projects stand out in the market.
The amenities at Atlin are incredible too, Matt. A rooftop patio with stunning views, fitness center, co-working space, and lounge areas for events. The outdoor space is extensive with 2 fitness areas, 3 children's play areas, and multiple spots to relax.
With major investments happening in the SkyTrain and the 72nd Avenue extension, West Clayton is set for explosive growth. This is genuinely one of those opportunities to invest in a community before values skyrocket.
And that's really the key here. This isn't just about finding a beautiful place to live. It's about making a smart investment in your future as the whole area continues to develop.
Pre-sales for Atlin will begin soon. Register today at atlincondos.ca. That's atlincondos.ca.
Okay, Matt. So we're talking to people that have properties today that are thinking about selling, and they've been kind of weighing the options of selling this fall or maybe waiting until spring of next year. And here's the reality. It's not an easy market to sell in. Anybody that listens to our show knows that. Anybody that's been monitoring the market knows that it's a challenging market right now. So what we're talking about today is how to sell your home in a difficult market.
Yeah. And really the question is, should I sell now?
Yeah.
Right? Should I sell now? Should I wait to the spring? Is it going to be better? There's a lot of questions, but there's no doubt, Adam, that anyone who listens to this show or has a pulse or thinks about real estate in any way knows that it's been a challenging year. It looked like 2025, we were going to come out of a fairly challenging 2024. And in fact, 2025, by all counts, has been worse if you're selling real estate. And I feel like we've talked to people over the last 2-3 years that keep pushing it down, kick the can down the line 6 months, right? Maybe I'll wait till next year. Maybe I'll wait till, you know, check in. Hey, how are things? And it's gotten worse.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing. So we had Brendan Ogbenson on the show recently from BCREA. He's the chief economist there, talking about the market this year. We had a really lackluster first 6 months. We had a bit of an uptick in the summer. Then we had a very slow August. September was not great. We are dealing with a market right now that if you look at each area in Vancouver, we are firmly planted in a buyer's market with sales ratios in the area typically of around 10%. So about
8 to 12%.
Right? Yeah, 1 out of 10 homes selling in each market over the course of a month.
Let me just give you some stats from September, Adam.
Okay. I'm not going to give you the down to the decimal here, but we're 20% below the 10-year average in terms of sales volume. Okay. We're 20% above the 10-year average in terms of listings. Okay. Do you remember Andrew Liss, who works for the Greater Vancouver Realtors?
Yes.
On the show talking about if we ever hit 15,000 listings in terms of inventory, it would be like this insane time. The number of listings at the end of September, 17,079. That is 36.1% above the 10-year average in terms of listings. And Adam, this is just what's on MLS.
Yeah.
There's a new, remember shadow flipping?
Yes, I remember shadow flipping.
Right? Yeah. This was, I don't know who, I feel like,
it was
it Kerry Gold or was it Andy Yan? No, it wasn't Kerry Gold.
No, it was a reporter that, who was it? I can't remember
her name. Oh, Globe and Mail. Yeah, I can see her face actually.
That was a very,
Yeah, anyway, the shadow flipping thing in back in 2016, we're now dealing with what's
Tomlinson?
Called. Yes. Yeah, Tomlinson. Tomlinson. Yes. That was it. We're now dealing with another ominous, threatening.
Why is it always
term.
Shadow?
Why, I don't know. And who came up with this term? But it's shadow inventory. And what that means, of course, is this is developer inventory that's built and for sale, but not on MLS. So if we're seeing 17,000 listings, that doesn't account for 2,000 to 3,000, let's
right,
say.
Right.
Other homes that are currently for sale that are not on MLS. So is the situation dire? Some would argue yes.
Well, and this, yeah, and this is it, right? So when
don't
you
panic though, Adam.
I'm not. Here's the thing. It's very much the case that, you know, the Fraser Valley is experiencing probably the worst market they've seen in 25 years. And as you pointed out, the 10-year average, the amount of sales volume that's currently happening month over month right now is very low compared to the 10-year average. So you got to be very creative in how you sell, and you have to be very realistic in how you approach selling your property.
Yeah, before we talk about that, Adam, I think if anybody was listening to what I was just laying out, the idea would be, well, should I wait till the spring?
Right.
Like this can't be the best time to sell. And I feel like I'd love your take on this, because if you're 3 to 5 years, if you can hold a property for 3 to 5 years right now, this is not the time to sell.
No.
Right? This is, I feel like if you're
thinking...
Well,
it depends. If there's an opportunity on the other side, right? So, I mean, we've helped a lot of people successfully this year sell their property at a price maybe that was off of the peak, but then go out and get an exceptional deal on the buy side.
Right.
And then it of makes course. Sense, right? So you have to really calculate your numbers and really know
people where moving you're going. Through the market, I think it still definitely makes sense. If you have an investment property and you're thinking, you know, I'm not super excited about owning this property anymore, but
sure.
I'm happy to wait till 2027, 2028, 2029. I would say it's almost 100% answer is without having a crystal ball, hold off.
Sure. Yeah. There will be better markets to sell in.
But the real question is, what if I want to sell now or in April? Mm. April of 2026.
Yeah, that's a tricky one. And so I think there's a lot to consider here about April 2026. And I mean, here's the reality is that we've got potentially better sales ratio or better sales ratios and better sales volume coming in spring.
And Brendan Augmentson, I think, is expecting that.
Well, that was the best forecasting that model that they have in place right now, or that they're all leaning towards, is the one where we see in Q2 of next year more activity in the resale market. So better sales activity. I think what is still TBD is the amount of listings that will come on in the spring. And the carryover from this yeah. year, right? Stuff that will be canceled in late November and December and then brought back to market in spring. So, you know, you can imagine right now, lots of people are expected to be going through mortgage renewals. So there's a bit of a wave of mortgage renewals. Will that trigger some new listings as well? There's lots of questions right now. And then on the flip side is we've got the potential of interest rate cuts. Although we saw inflation creep up, I think a lot of people are still expecting one more cut this year, potentially a couple cuts in the new year.
Yeah, well, and at least in October, I think it's still, yeah, it's still over 50% for sure in terms of the betting market that we're getting a cut at the end of this month.
Right, right. So lots of things to keep in mind right now when you're considering that. But if it was me and I knew I had to sell either now or the spring,
I would probably be looking to catch the last of this year and see how I do right now, because it's anyone's guess what the spring looks like this upcoming year.
It's anyone's guess, but here's, I think, some of the things we can be certain of at this point, because we're third week of October, and you touched on it. Absorption. A lot of this inventory is not going to be absorbed by the end of this year or in January or February, right? So we're still going to have high levels of inventory. The wave of mortgage renewals, best case scenario, that doesn't add new inventory or a glut of new inventory and things just remain the same, but we're still at super elevated levels of inventory.
For Vancouver.
Yeah. And last, you know, these interest rate cuts, you know, I feel like we've since mid-2022, and this was a question I was kind of thinking about this morning. Since 2022, there's always, you know, it's funny in the real estate world, like, you know, remember when everybody became like inflation experts when inflation went through the roof and everybody was, you know, all the economists were laughing that, you know, suddenly every realtor's acting like they're an economist. And remember when interest rates were a thing? It was like we were obsessed with interest rates. Now, you know, it's a thing. But if we get a quarter point, does that move the needle? I don't know. In fact, it might lead people to kind of just sit on their hands and watch, because it feels like we're kind of mid interest rate move here. We're not at the bottom. We're not at the top. Inflation data keeps moving up and down. It's like, I don't know. It doesn't feel like that's really going to move the needle this year in my mind, but I could be wrong.
Well, it seems like everybody now is an expert in sitting on their hands and watching. I feel like that's where the experts have moved. So here's a couple things to consider if you are thinking about listing this year, Matt. Number one, okay, and this is coming down to four strategies to consider. So four strategies to consider for if you're going to take action in the fall market. One is the reality check. This is what I'm calling the reality check. So price for the market you're in, not the market you wish you're in.
Yeah. And we've seen that. And I feel like that's in a lot of ways, you know, when we're seeing 8 to 10% sales ratios right now, that 1 out of 10 that's selling has taken this message and internalized it and acted upon it.
Right.
And it's usually selling at a price below the last comparable sale.
Well,
is that
yeah,
fair?
Yeah. If you have like 600 or 700 listings, say on the West Side, and only, you know, 70 of them are selling, or 60 of them are selling each month, you want to be in that 60, right? What do you do to get there, right? And so the reality is that you have to look at hyper local sales data, and we've talked about this on the show a lot, but this is one component of it: is you want to be really understanding what your specific market is doing. And so looking at stats that actually allow you to drill down and focus on the sub market, but also the sub price band that you're in.
Right.
Because just because it's a buyer's market in the general geographical region that you're looking in, it might be a seller's market in your price band and in your sub market. So you need to know exactly what you're competing with and how that immediate market's doing. And one of the ways to do that is to try to pull sales data from a really, really close proximity and be very specific about the type of comps you're actually using. And your agent will be able to assist with that. And I think also really knowing the competition. So not only looking at it, a lot of people will actually go and look at what their competition is. Go to the open house, visit the open house, tour the property, have a look, and really understand where you're going to stand out, but also where you're going to lag potentially.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, I think that's really smart. So first of all, kind of sales ratio data. Second of all,
hyper local sales ratio data.
Yeah, comparables that have sold very recently. I think something that's even 3 months now, sold 3 months ago.
Almost useless.
Almost useless.
Well,
and just to finish the thought, so local, recent, very recent sales, if they exist, and a lot of times they don't exist right now. That's the challenge. But then you're pricing against active. So I think the two things I would be thinking is with the real estate board stats, looking at the best sold comparables, but also very attractive in relation to what's on the market and thinking about getting ahead of the market. So realistically, if you do all that work and you come to, you know, $600,000, you may want to be at 575 to get ahead.
Right.
580, something like that, where you're really tacking ahead to stand out in this market.
So you're saying get in front of the market.
Get in front of the market, absolutely, yeah.
Well, so, and this is another thing because, you know, we've talked a lot on this show and I like to think about it like if you flip it and you think about hot markets. So in hot markets, what people see, a strategy that happens in real estate and a strategy that agents adopt is they'll often go on for what we call a bait price, right? Like a low price. So like, you know, the property is worth somewhere around, say, $1 million, but you list at $899, right? And the point is you want to get attention, you want to get people through the door. But in reality, in hot markets where prices are jumping, you often don't know exactly where it's going to land because the comps are not super useful in those markets as well.
Yeah. Exactly.
So you might say, okay, your neighbor down the street just sold for $1 million. Okay. So I can confidently say, I think we'll sell for $1 million. But also, what are the chances we might get $1,020,000?
There were six people that missed out last week.
Exactly. And now there's nothing to buy. So the flip side of that now is we're in a market where
price discovery on the opposite side.
It's price discovery on the opposite side. That's exactly what it is. So just because your neighbor sold 3 months ago for $1 million, it doesn't mean that you're going to sell for $1 million today. So you have
And in fact, it almost certainly means you won't.
Well, in many cases,
depending on the submarket, but.
And that's the thing. And unless it's a complete box ticker with very limited supply, but if you generally have a property where you have competition that looks the same as yours, you have to be ahead of the market.
Absolutely. Yeah. That is what we're finding is working this fall for sure. Let's talk about how you position yourself in the market right now. And in early September, we did there was a survey that came out and we kind of walked through the different survey components. I feel like without doing that again, there's two considerations right now, right? One is there's certain things you can still control and that's how you present the property and that's how you price the property right off the bat, right? You only get one chance to make a first impression. It's been said over and over again. So you want to come out the gates strong and you want to make sure you're marketing it to the people that are active in this market. Who's the buyer? And you don't want to be focused on investors.
Yeah. And that's the thing, because we know a lot of investors have left the building. Even if you have an investor product, you may want to think about how you can appeal to end users.
Exactly.
This is I really like this idea and we've talked about it a lot on the show. A lot of people, when they're listing their property, they get caught up on the things that they can't control, right? And that's where you get stress and anxiety
Expand this to life.
Well, it's the same thing. Yeah. It's this. If you can control, just focus on what you can control. So we want absolutely stunning photos that reflect the property in the best light. We want amazing staging. We want to make sure that we're staging for the potential purchaser and who we think the target market will be for the property. We want to focus if it's a detached house or ground-oriented living, we want to focus on curb appeal. We want to make sure that the property is in its best light when it comes to outdoor space, when it comes to just make use of everything we possibly can so that it's showing in its best light. We want to set up a feedback loop, and feedback loops are so important in soft markets because the feedback that you're getting from agents and from potential purchasers, you have to implement that. You have to implement, you're running blind if you don't have a feedback loop in place because you won't know how you're being compared against the competition and you won't know why buyers are maybe not pursuing your listing
and pursuing others. And you know, the thing is, feedback loop in terms of, hey, what exactly were the objections? Why are you not considering this property for people who have come through? But also, are we getting any phone calls?
Right.
Are we getting people through the door? If you're not getting right off the bat four showings in the first week, kind of range, right, 4 to 6 showings, or at least 4 to 6 phone calls right now, like you kind of came out with a dud. What is the first open house like?
Well, it reminds me of my property manager who always says to me, if we don't have 3 calls a day on your rental listing, you're SOL.
Is that right?
Yeah. How many calls are you getting on yours?
You know, the question is how many people actually show up?
Yeah. Anyways.
We got some feedback on the 30 and under year old males reached out last week. Right, I gotta watch myself in Yale Town. Yeah. So, but the feedback loop is imperative. And here's the thing. Some people would argue that patience is a virtue in a market like this. And in some respects, it is, because the urgency is not there. People, you know, are often seeing a property, coming back 2 weeks later, and then kind of thinking for another week before they act. But the fact of the matter is this. If you're considering the spring and the fall, and you're making the determination right now, I think now's the time. Let's just get this done. You have 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Patience is not a virtue in 6 weeks. You have to move very quickly to get the property marketed, get it marketed with the best foot forward, with the best photos, with the best system in place. But then you need to be reacting. And I would say you need to be reacting almost every 10 to 14 days minimum.
Yeah. Yeah. It is a very active process in a market like this. And I mean, why wouldn't people, like, in questioning the urgency or the lack of urgency for buyers? I mean, it goes back to what we're talking about, right? I mean, a lot of people are looking, a lot of buyers are pulling back and going, okay, well, if I wait, maybe there's a few more rate cuts that happen between now and when I purchase. Also anticipating more inventory when it comes from, first of all, people waiting to launch their listings in the spring, but also the fact that the mortgage renewals, there might create more inventory. So there's buyers that are aware of this. So we are definitely dealing with a buyer contingent right now that is dragging their feet.
Yeah.
So how do you stand out for all the right reasons? And that's exactly it.
Hi, I'm Michael Yu.
And I'm Morgan Brown. And we're the founders of Oakland Realty. We have 9 offices across British Columbia,
serving all major markets of BC. If you're an agent out there, just like Adam and Matt, who happen to be licensed at Oakwin, please reach out to us at oakwin.com/join and type into that message box, the rep, and you'll receive a free gift and a promotion when you meet one of our leaders.
Thanks so much. And we're looking forward to meeting with you.
See you soon.
You're right, Adam. I can say with certainty, buyers out there are very sophisticated right now. They're educated and they know exactly what type of market they're in. And like, let me put it to you this way, 17,000 listings. Let's say we have a banner couple months, right? Does it go down to 15,000? Like, that's still a ton of inventory. Like, it's hard to imagine a world in which prices start jumping and you miss the mark without having kind of a couple month leeway to go, hey, things are changing, right? It's hard with this level of inventory to imagine something changing immediately. And I think buyers know that. So the ones monitoring it just don't have that sense of urgency. So again, course correct fairly quickly in order to stand out in your market. And that is exactly based on the things we've talked about. But here's a question for you, Adam. Do you stay on the market in December? Now, I've heard people argue two ways on this.
I've seen it go successful and I've seen it go poorly. So I think, I mean, it is a very tricky one. If you've been sitting on the market if you launch now, you try and capitalize on the 6 weeks we have before the first week of December or whatever, and you're not getting the activity that you're expecting. The benefit of staying on December is a lot of people will pull the listings because they don't want to collect days on market.
You can't get sold if you're not for sale.
Well, this is it. Yeah. So, I mean, so I can see the argument both ways. I think it really depends on the specific market and the specific product. There's certain listings that I think I would keep up and running over the course of December. And then there's certain ones where there's more of that exact product type that's hanging around that I would probably pull and consider coming back on. And likely the earliest would be late January or early February.
So what type of, just to be clearer, without, you know, we're not talking about specific listings, but they, for example,
if I thought that there was, so if there was a higher chance of getting absorbed in a market like this, I might stay the course in December. But if I thought there were some real difficulties with selling, I probably just wouldn't stay on. I'd probably pull it and revisit it in the new year.
Yeah.
And I think it's a conversation, like it's really tricky to talk in generalizations around that or in general ideas, because it is very specific to the property. I can definitely see, and a lot of agents advocate to be on when other people are not on. Right. You know, like our common wisdom throughout the years has been, don't list before a long weekend. But some agents see that as an opportunity because a lot of people list thinking
they like slow open houses.
Well, but they list thinking, okay, I might be one listing. Yeah. I might be one open.
Yeah. Why there's going to be 12 that launch after the long weekend. And one the week that I launch, yeah, and it's going to be me.
And you can see where the value might be on either side of that, on that argument. I think it's kind of take it on a case by case basis. But here's what I would say is if the next big push in the market, not that right now feels like much of a push, but the next big push is going to be the spring after this fall. So I'd be thinking about it. And one thing we haven't even talked about, but just on a side note, you might have a property that really presents its best in the spring, like an amazing outdoor space, beautiful garden, that sort of thing. And you might want to time the property type with the weather as well.
Yeah, nice outdoor space. I can tell you in showing, you know, I keep going back to this rental, but it really brought it home because there's this stunning view and it's nice and bright. And I've shown it. We've had a couple nice days this last week and I've caught it on nice days. And you're like, maybe I should move in here. But on a dreary kind of November feeling day, the same unit 2 days later, I was like, I want to slip my wrists. Like this is terrible. I'm depressed to be in the city. I'm depressed to be in this unit. I'm depressed to be in.
You're just depressed.
I'm just depressed. Maybe that's it. Just, you know, I just wanted to say one thing about that December idea. I do think if you're still getting good activity, obviously in November,
stay the course,
right? That's for sure. But if it's one of those things where you're like, I don't think price reductions really is a smart move in December.
But all of this is, Matt, what we're talking around here is the point is that you have to be very active with these listings. Yeah. And that's why you need the feedback loop. That's why you need to be having kind of consistent communication on how to pivot
in a market. I was going to say pivot in a lot of cases, if you're not getting that activity in late November, pivot to the early spring. Whereas, you know, if it's like, okay, this is, there's a lot, you can feel it. You can feel, you know, it's like in anything, momentum.
Momentum, right? Yeah.
That's it.
So yeah, Matt, if you are thinking about selling this year, just to kind of recap on some of these ideas. So first of all, if you decide to do fall over spring of next year, we've got about 6 weeks or so until the market's going to be pretty soft. So there's a little bit of urgency there. You want to make sure that you're looking at hyper-local sales data, because just don't trust the headlines. You might be in a busier market than you think you are. And we really got a plan based on the best hyperlocal comparables in your marketplace. Really know what your competition is. Always be considering, like, calculate the cost of waiting versus sale price, et cetera. And make sure that you're getting in front of the competition.
Absolutely.
You don't want to price so you hang out in the competition. You want to price to sell against the competition.
You need to be strategic in that regard. And you can't have, you know, what do they say?
I'm not sure what they say.
What do they say? Well, let's just put it this way. You have to be very realistic.
Yes.
And what I'm finding right now is if something seems cheap, in terms of when you're selling it, probably actually the offers are probably going to be less than what you think is cheap.
Oh, right. I say inexpensive, but you also want to make sure that you can address the things that you can control. So of course, photo staging.
I like that. Appeal. I like the comment about anxiety, right?
That's when you don't want anxiety.
You don't need it. There's no point.
How many people focus on the things in the world that they can't control?
Right.
It's like, just have a good meal, get to the gym, get some good night's sleep.
Did you hear what the orange man did down
south? Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's called, there's a lot of distractions, but focus on what you can control. Photo staging, curb appeal, floor plans, great marketing materials. Set up an amazing feedback system for showings. Target marketing that goes to end users in a market like this. So really what you want to do is you want to know who your buyer is, but you don't want to put your eggs in the investor basket, because I'm telling you right now, there are not a lot of investors in this market, and everyone's aware of that. So it's probably not a winning strategy.
In a lot of ways right now, there's more energy required.
Yes.
To sell a property. And I don't mean just from the realtors, although in many ways that's definitely true, but across the board. And it's just, energy may not be the right word, engagement.
Yes.
Continuous engagement in the process. And you want to be working with a team that is definitely engaged and engaging you on what's going on with your property.
Sure. And just to continue on a couple more points we talked about, make adjustments based on the showing feedback. Drop the price if you're not getting active showings, or consider restructuring how your approach, and definitely make improvements or understand kind of the bookends of the market. So like, be mindful of the fact that first week of December, when Christmas parties are starting to begin, is usually when people start really checking out of a lot of things in their life, real estate included. And and last but not least, Matt, of course, if you get an offer in this market, take them seriously. Take them seriously.
And don't take offense. Any offer is better than no offer. Explain to the folks at home why.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, I think, and we've talked about this a lot, but listings have a narrative, right? And over the course of the listing, having offers tells other potential buyers that people like this enough to offer. And there's something psychological about that. It's really hard as a seller's agent, when asked, have you had any offers and you've been on the market for 6 months or 90 days, to say, no, we haven't.
Right.
Right. Because where the buyers immediately go is there's some kind of stigma. They go to the stigma land, and they're like worried about, okay, well, what's wrong with this place? What am I not seeing here? And immediately they move to the negative, right?
Yeah. Offers are positive, even if they didn't work out.
Even
if it doesn't work out. That is absolutely, absolutely true.
So Matt, maybe just to wrap for today, we'll do the five quick lighthearted questions for yourself.
No, for you. I think you. I haven't.
Oh, really? Yeah, I thought we were doing you today. But sure. Yeah. If you want to ask me, go ahead.
Yeah. All right.
This podcast is sponsored by Jethro Condos in downtown Langley. Over 100 homes under $425,000 with one-bedroom suites starting at $399,900.
Here's what's incredible, Adam. These condos actually cash flow. When's the last time we could say that about new construction in the Lower Mainland? With these entry-level prices, the numbers actually work for investors.
And you're in the heart of downtown Langley, surrounded by trendy cafes, artisan bakeries, and parks. The area is experiencing incredible growth and new development.
Yeah, the location is absolutely key. Jethro is steps from the future Langley SkyTrain station. Get in before that transit connection transforms the area. Because once that SkyTrain arrives, you're looking at direct connections across the Lower Mainland.
Jethro is a Whitetail Homes project. Whitetail Homes has over 25 years of experience with quality construction and finishes that exceed expectations. We're talking vibrant interiors, expansive windows, and thoughtful design.
For realtors listening, they are offering amazing cooperative incentives. This is a rare opportunity where the fundamentals make sense. Affordable entry, cash flow potential, and positioned for major transit infrastructure, an all-around win.
Register at jethrocondos.ca. That's Jethro condos.ca.
Jethro Condos, distinctly Langley, uniquely yours.
First question for you, Adam. Well, I'll give my two cents on this one as well, but one book that you've been reading recently. And actually, I have one.
I think you're going 1929, are you?
I am going 1929. I've started it. It's great. The one thing I would say about 1929, this is Andrew Ross Sorkin's book. Two things. One, we're dealing with kind of all-time highs in the stock market.
Yes.
And two, we're dealing with a real estate market that is in fairly deep recession right now. I feel like that combination and 1929, if you're looking for something that doesn't induce anxiety, that might not be the book for you. But it's a great narrative. John Kenneth Galbraith, I think, is the guy who wrote I actually read that back in 2008, if you can believe it. And this is kind of nice, revisited, a little bit more narrative focused, and I'm enjoying it. But what about you?
No, I'm listening to 1929 as well.
So really? Are you having the same?
Yeah, I'm in the same camp. But I don't know how I got onto this, but the Cocaine Diaries.
How did you get on?
I think it just popped up in my Spotify. But I'll read you the subtitle: A Venezuelan Prison Nightmare. It's about a guy who goes and gets caught smuggling drugs.
How did you get onto this? It
honestly popped up in my
things you may like. Well, at least but you know what I find listening to books as much as reading them now? For whatever reason, it's very easy to get distracted. So you need something gripping, is what I'm telling you.
Yeah. No, and anyways, that's it's funny. I was telling you this the other day. I've got like my serious listening, I've got my educational listening, and then I've got my absolute what do they call those? When you don't want anyone to know, your Cocaine Diaries.
Oh, yeah. Your Datelines. Yeah. I'd put it in the same. All right. This is one I don't have anything, so I'll just let you go. One habit. No, is it habit?
Belief, behavior, habit that you've changed recently that's had a positive impact on your life. So I'm going to go with 100%. I said this on the show one time and I got ripped by everybody for saying sleep hygiene. Like, sleep hygiene has been what I've been focused on. So going to bed earlier, and I think I told you this, but I got an Oura ring. And so now I'm geeking out on all the data that's available around my sleep. So, and trying to, it's like gamifying your sleep essentially, but it's the first wearable device I've had that has actually proved like my habits across the board. Because like I feel like, actually, and maybe it's the app and maybe it's how they do it. Like one of the things they do, it's like similar to Whoop where it gives you like a cardiovascular age. So I'm trying to get my cardiovascular age down. They give you the sleep scores, your readiness scores. It's, I'm converted. I love it. So
what is a readiness score? I don't know.
It's like how ready you are to take on the day based on all these, your heart rate variability and all the different. It's pretty entertaining.
Very cool.
Okay, question number three, Matt. What have you been binge watching lately, or a movie recommendation? Man, this is a pregnant pause.
Well, no, you know why? Because I feel like I'm a little late to the party on Mobland, which I just finished. But I feel like everybody, that's like last month's show.
Did you finish Mobland?
Yeah. Everybody said it was
pretty entertaining. The storyline gets a little weird at times.
But, I feel like what's his name? Tom
Hardy.
Tom Hardy he's when great. He's on the motorbike in Belgium.
That was the moment.
Yeah, that was the moment I was like, that was like the fawns on the skis jumping the the shark. Jumping the shark. I can't even think. You know what? I feel like there's been so many sports. I haven't watched anything.
Oh, yours is Blue Jays.
You know what? Blue Jays, but also I will say for tennis fans out there, that Six Kings that was on Netflix, not super exciting. There's something, the energy seemed off on that to me.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know. This was in Riyadh, they got the top six tennis players and the final was, you know, Yannick Sinner, Carlos Alcaraz. It should have been, to me, it should have had this excitement around it and it just fell flat. I don't know. Leave your comments there because I'm not sure if I was the only one. But yeah. What have you been watching?
You know what? The best thing I've watched recently was the John Candy documentary.
Oh, I watched that too. That was great.
I like me. That was honestly, I'm going to watch that again. I feel like
also revisit Spaceballs.
And yeah, exactly. I was trying to get my, it was funny. I watched it and then I was like, you know, it's kind of a, it's almost, if you're like an 80s, early 90s kid, it's almost like an emotional. I was like, there's moments there where
I totally forgot about him in the Argos as well.
Oh, but, I know. I forgot about like, a lot of it, but it really takes you back to your childhood. But then immediately I was like, oh, what am I going to, well, I want to watch a John Candy movie tonight and ideally with my six-year-old.
Yeah.
So I chat GPT'd all what would be the best John Candy movie or whatever. I was thinking like Great Outdoors. It's like, oh, for sure, Cool Runnings. I'm like, like, are you serious? So I bought, if you can believe this, I bought Cool Runnings for $4.99 or whatever on, it's like the one movie not on any streaming services.
Yeah.
And then my kid after about 10 minutes was like, this sucks. Can we watch any cartoon? Oh. And so yeah, that was it. But
depressing. Music you've been listening to.
Oh, man. Yeah. Honestly, why don't you go first? I gotta actually look at what I've been listening to.
You know what I've been listening to? Hold on. Dire Straits.
Interesting.
Tons of Dire Straits. I feel like once you get... It's the song... I feel like, first of all, everybody, I think, of a certain age will know all the Dire Straits songs.
Yeah.
But I feel like I was just too young. It was like background music of my childhood that I didn't really appreciate. And man, there's some great tracks.
Yeah, mine...
This is like saying, you know, what do you like? What TV show would you recommend? Seinfeld. It's like Dire Straits. But seriously, Dire Straits.
I'm in a weird moment right now because I was listening to... at the gym, I was listening to a lot of like hip hop and I'm really just burnt out on it. So I've been listening to... Idols, which is Brendan Augmundson.
I only watched them on YouTube.
I'm catching up. I'm becoming reacquainted with all the propaganda albums from the last decade that I haven't that I slept on. So, anyway, something that's an alternative to hip hop that
keeps you motivated,
that doesn't put me to sleep.
Last but not least, Adam, something for under $1,500 that is not your Aura ring that has had a profound impact on your life.
Here, Matt, will you go first here?
Okay. One is more bragging than anything.
Oh, here we go.
Friends of the show, Chris Hewitt and myself put our names on the Burnaby Tennis Club's wait list.
No big deal.
Back in 2018 or whenever it was.
It's the East Van Arbutus Club. Yeah,
but actually, if you live in East Van, you have to be a Burnaby resident almost exclusively, it seems, to get in. I got the call. I got the call and it was just under $1,500. I was at my first competitive doubles last night and I got to say, early days, but this is going to change my life and it's going to have a very meaningful, positive thing on my life. That's for sure.
Wow.
So it's an experience, Adam. It's an experience.
That's incredible. That's a good one. But yeah, I don't have anything. So let's...
Well, you know what, Adam? I recall it was just your birthday.
Yes.
So happy birthday. I remember about a week ago, your wife was asking you what you wanted for your birthday. And this is a direct quote from you. What do you get the guy who immediately goes out and buys whatever he wants?
They call him the instant gratification guy.
So you've got it all, nothing new.
And that's fine. And I may one click it if I don't. All right, Matt. There's your quick cheat code to selling in the fall market. And we'll see you on the other side.
So there you have it, folks. Our discussion about selling this fall, waiting till the spring, or potentially course correcting. Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, I hope you enjoyed that. A couple kind of postscript announcements. One is I did come up with a best money I've spent recently under $1,500. And it is my ongoing weekend trips to Hillcrest, the pool, which if you have young kids is kind of the best.
It is. Is that the best community center in the city? I think there's no question.
You know what? It's that pool in the lazy river there. And I mean, I'm not telling anyone anything that they don't know, but it's pretty phenomenal. It's a great way to kill a few hours in the afternoon. And it's a pretty good, if your kids are of the age that they can swim on their own, there's a hot tub there for the adults. Also a place, Matt, where there is a huge shortage of never nudes, I should say, in the men's change room. I think I'm the only guy there who removed my bathing suit to reveal my jean shorts properly put on underneath. A little Tobias humor there for the listeners. Anyways, before we cut for the day, the only other thing I'll mention is we are, when we talk about these properties that course correcting, et cetera, I really want to be clear about this. There are still sub-markets where stuff is moving in Vancouver and you can still get great prices. And we don't mean to suggest that there are not pockets or particular types of properties that are not a real hot commodity in this market, because there are. There absolutely are.
Oh, absolutely.
And we're still seeing multiples on stuff, and there's still stuff that's selling after the first weekend on the market. So really, the big thing is to really double down and get to know the sub-market, the sub-price band. And maybe you're in a better situation than you think. And this is all to say, don't trust the headlines, because you can't make generalizations about this market.
Absolutely. If you found that useful, we're looking for ratings and reviews, Adam. We're looking for ratings and reviews right now, and sharing with a friend. If you found that episode or any episode useful, you can also head over to VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com, where we have a bunch of tools. Research tools like private client services for people wanting to monitor the market, the live wire, the weekly mailer. We're sending out stats. We got it all. VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com, or you can try me at 778-847-2854, or Matt at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
Or you can try me at 778-866-4574, or Adam at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
And of course, if you don't want feelings hurt, there's that Kokomo line info at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
Well, have a great week, everybody, and we're back next week with another great episode.
Take care.
2,000 Spaces for Radio. Subscribe today.